You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. To the everlasting chagrin of some local officials, DeSimone is back on the air on Wake Up Tucson. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Mr. D.
Good morning, Ed Alexander.
Hey.
Thanks to the crew who filled in last week while I disappeared into a mountain refuge, as
good
we like
you.
To say. So
working on the compound. Thank you.
Absolutely. All Jonathan, right. Barney, Shelley, Mark, Sean, all of you. Thank you. And thanks to Ed Alexander for keeping it all together.
Herding the cats, as it were. Yep. Not a problem.
Good yeah, folks. I disappeared up to the Pine Top region.
Good.
And when people say, oh, hey, what'd you do? Did you go hiking? You know, we did some hiking. We did some mountain biking kind of stuff, which
bacon
was great.
Bacon?
Ooh. You know, and we chilled. It was like,
kay.
You know, it was hanging out in the patio, reading on the back porch, reading a book, looking at the trees, looking at the squirrels.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Breathing. That's what we did. Some pine air.
And I brought a freezer pack of stuff from the sausage shop. So I had Italian sausage, chorizo, brats, and burgers. And so, you know, defrosted that over time, and I was queuing that up. So nothing better than being in the middle of there eating that.
There you go.
You know.
For you. This guy got away. Most of us wish we got away for our little summer vacation so far, but Chris D did. That's a good thing.
You know, again, we went into town a few times kind of thing. Get provisions like Ma and Pa Ingles kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we went to this Red Devil restaurant for pizza. They actually did a nice job with pizza one night. That was good. We went to the Pine Top Brew Company, which they actually are brewing their own, eight or different types of Belgian beer. They actually do, they got the vats and everything right there. We sat on the patio. Weather was beautiful.
Yeah.
We blew out of Tucson on the right time, right?
Yeah.
One, we knew the weather wasn't great here. And two, especially and what I love about Ed Alexander, right? What does he say like in Mega? Oh, I love summer. Summer's great. All right. And he's sending me pictures of his thermometer in Pliskin Acres like, it's so hot.
110 in the shade.
So he's, I don't know if it really is his favorite season anymore, but God bless him. So, anyway, totally great. Love to try to do it again before, you know, the summer's over because it was, you want the decompression session?
Yeah.
It happened. Totally happened.
The whole idea.
Read a couple of new books I needed to get into that I got on the old Amazon. And so good. It was good. Very good. Came back about dinner time last night. We maxed it out.
Wowee.
And, you know, with all the stuff going on.
You still smell like forced little cookout there.
I even got the vacation beard going on here. But with all the stuff going on with I knew the TPD stuff was coming. I had sources at the police department tell me this was coming. And of course, so many of you who support the show with great information was sending me all this stuff. And literally every, because I'm still the first one to wake up in the morning of the family, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so I'd sit on the patio with my laptop and I would literally go archive. I didn't look at any of it until this morning when I woke up. I didn't care.
Wow.
As I've learned doing 11 years of show, it's always going to be there.
It's going to be there when you get back.
So, of course, the two big stories today we're going to talk about is this TPD thing. And also, pandemic. Thank you to Eric for a pandemic. And we're going to go through the numbers one more time. And I'm just telling you something.
We're all going to die.
No, we're not.
Oh. That's spiking.
Contrary to... You know, here at Wake Up Tucson, we're always going to be a little contrary to what's getting fed to you. Well, it's gonna happen again. And this is purely on the numbers from the county and the state.
Data is data. Headlines is headlines. Two different things.
Politics, baby.
Baby. Well,
politics. So when we get to this, we're going to hop into this police thing. The story is so massive.
Yeah.
Okay. And what we're going to do is, if you're someone who has been on the Wake Up Tucson journey, and you see what's going on here, you shouldn't be surprised by any of this. All of the dynamics that have made the city of Tucson the backwards government that it is, have this fits in perfectly with all of it. There's no surprise here at all. As I knew kind of what was coming. I knew what happened. I didn't know all the details. And then as I'm going through it this morning, I watched the press conference with the Queen and the Chief. Okay, I watched that. I went through timelines. I went through the police report. I went through all of these things. I went through the crap coming out of Lane Santa Cruz and her flunkies, social media, all of this stuff. The resignation, the non-accepting, all of these different things. And what we're going to do today when we come back is we're going to build the case again. And you're going to see how it falls in perfectly with everything we've ever told you on this show. All the dynamics of this show, of what we've talked about in the city of Tucson on this show for 11 years, have all played out perfectly in this whole thing. The amount of hypocrisy that has fallen out of the Chief's pie hole and the Queen Rahina's pie hole is amazing. And then we're going to talk about all the city council folk in this also. This, what you're seeing here with this, how the reaction of this and part of that, the center of self-righteousness around downtown, right? In downtown. Relation to this case, there's something that I phrase, I'm sure other smarter people coined it before me, but I started using the phrase selective outrage. Okay. And we're going to talk about selective outrage is on display to the umpteenth degree here. Now, we do have guests today. We have Ryan Arthur Jadusky McCluskey. Elites create national populist revolution. We're going to talk about that. And it plays in, I think we'll play in a little bit in relation to the pandemic discussion we're going to have also today. And then third hour with my brother Joe, Blue Chip Planning. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about in national stuff, economic stuff, money stuff in the third hour. So, Ed Alexander, I didn't ask you about your weekend. Was it? I know
it was chill.
It was chill?
No big deal. Yeah.
All right.
Worked in the morning out in the yard and stayed home and stayed cool in the afternoon with friends.
How's the weeds in your house?
Are no weeds.
Okay.
No weeds.
I mean, you are the mayor of Pliskin Acres.
I've got it under control now.
Wow.
This is cool. I raked the whole thing again this week.
And I did notice on the police reports this week that Pliskin had a little action this week.
Yeah, well, there were like five cop cars at Grant and Elver now when I went through this morning. 5:45. No problem. Three guys on bicycles with backpacks just kind of hanging around about a couple blocks away from there. I was going to
The shooting at the Fiesta bowling lane, right?
The popular Fiesta bowling lane.
Was that used in the news?
Yes.
The news thing?
Yes. Popular bowling lane. Like, what? Come on.
It's been so popular that the last time I was there, I think closed. the second George Bush was in his first term.
The thing is, it's closed, right? It's closed because of the COVID, so there's nobody there anyhow. It's in the parking lot of the popular closed bowling lane. What the hell, people? I know you're only 22 years old. You thought it was open and it was a big deal, but it ain't. God. Yeah, baby. And then we'll send them out to the fire and let them figure out what a fire is.
When we come back, DeSimone's going to put on his Columbo underoos.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this thing called the Tucson Police Department, Regina Romero, and the death of Mr. Lopez. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right. Now, we're going to start off in this. We're going to go through this journey together and see where we get at the end, okay? And you guys can help me out too. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to, so first and foremost, let's get this guy's name right, okay? Now, Tia Gloria is telling me to call him Mr. Ingram because that's his dad's name, but they're calling him Carlos Adrian Ingram Lopez.
Hey.
So are we saying So Tia Gloria, what I need to know, everyone out there, so
Tia knows the family.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yes.
All right. So call him Mr. Ingram, his dad's last name, his mom's last name is Lopez. So are we saying,
for sake of racialness,
is that what we're...
We should put the Lopez last because it sounds better on the banner on right. City Hall.
Okay. I can't. So here we are. I want to go through the journey of this with you guys. And we're starting off with the guy's name. What is this man? So this man's name is Carlos Ingram. Is that what we're... I mean, so... Are we saying, okay, so the question is there anything in, like when he signs off on his paperwork, right? His legal name.
Driver's license.
So check this out. This is how screwed up Tucson is. We don't even know the guy's name, in a way. So as I write down my legal brief here on my...
On your big yellow pad.
There on my yellow pad. What is this man's legal name? Right? Did they add the Lopez later as part of this? But let's just do this. We're going to use the initials, like AOC, C-A-I-L. We'll call him Kale. Okay? All right. Now, let's talk about Kale for a sec. Okay? So this gentleman, Martin, in Mexico, they put the father's last name before the mother's last name.
Okay. That's why this is then.
Is it the, but again, so I understand that. The question I want to know is, what is this man's legal name? That's just a question. I'm not even making a supposition here. What is this guy's legal name? So let's talk. We got to figure that out. Okay. So I guess we could look in the police report that they did. Hold on. I got the police report. Well,
and Regina, in her statement, says Carlos Adrian. Two times.
Ingram Lopez. She says it right there. She says all four names.
Yeah, but down here it's Carlos Adrian. So okay, but yeah,
that's because she's kind of thinking that's like saying his first name. Okay. Like I would call you Ed whatever, Edward Michael, P. Alexander. Yeah, that's Edward her P. saying like Edward P.
Okay.
All right. So according to the police report, they do have him down as Ingram Lopez.
Okay.
Okay. I just want to make sure we get that straight. Okay. But for right now, I don't want to say all four words. It'll slow things up. So we're gonna go Kale, C-A-I-L, which gets the Carlos Adrian Ingram Lopez all together. Got it. Okay. Let's go back to the Tucson police report. April 21st, unknown trouble call. Nana was calling about her grandson. He was reportedly drunk and nude. Sounds like he had copious amounts of cocaine in his system, correct, Ed?
Absolutely. That's what they say.
Okay.
Plenty.
Not a trace amount, no. Copious amounts
cause
of cocaine.
Of death.
Yeah. Running around naked. He also had a stop and arrest warrant out for him for domestic violence.
That doesn't come
here
up
here it is.
Too
this,
often.
This is from the police report.
Yeah, but it doesn't come up in the paper.
Mr. Ingram Lopez Mr. Ingram Lopez on Kale was reportedly drunk and nude. Yelling could be heard in the background. Additionally, officers were informed that the Mr. Ingram Lopez had an outstanding, quote, stop and arrest, unquote, from a previous domestic violence incident. Case 200419-0047. So we have to figure out, okay, so he had a stop and arrest for domestic violence. Now, was that against, like, a girlfriend, ex-wife, or maybe Nana? Now,
or other family member.
Right? So the other thing is, have we heard Nana's 911 call? Okay?
I don't think so.
Because a couple of officers in the TPD who sent me various messages about this says you should try to... Someone needs to listen to Nana's 911 call. She is not. Sounds like she's freaked. I mean, she should be, right? Her grandson is running around naked and coked up in the front of the house. So this is the question is. So again, I'm doing the Columbo thing. I'm like walking out the door and I put my hand in my head and I turn around and I go, hey, I was just thinking this domestic violence against this guy, right? There's a stop and arrest. That means, right, if you run into this guy, you're supposed to stop him and arrest him. Okay? All right. So, domestic violence against who? Against who? We need to listen to Nana's 911 call. Because here's the other thing, too, right? We're going to figure out what happened with this guy in the end. Remember, there's no the Pima County attorney hasn't filed any charges against anybody. This is still an investigation mode. Okay? So we're going to call this the unfortunate death of CAIL. All right? So I think getting Nana's 911 call, which I think is in Spanish, and have it kind of translated and out there, I'd love to see that and hear that. What was Nana telling? What did that 911 call sound like from Nana? Because from some friends in the TPD world, they're telling me she was really freaked. Okay. And then domestic violence against who? Because, of course, this is very important, right? Is, you know, they keep showing the picture of him and his granddaughter. Is this guy, was he beating up his girlfriend, ex-wife, or Nana? Because that's a little different picture than him holding his niece. He obviously was a troubled soul, right? That's why he had copious amounts of cocaine in his system. So, because of his death at the hands, well, I don't know, I don't want to say that either, because his death during this encounter with TPD, okay, that does not, because what we're going to hear a lot from Chief and Rahina is accountability and transparency. But remember, in the world of these people, the chief and Rahina, accountability and transparency is applicable to where you want to do it. So we got bottom of the hour news, CBS Bloomberg come up. We're going to continue working through the case together. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Christy Simone is back. Good morning, Mr. D.
Like I said, I was ignoring all of this story last week. It's like I was getting pounded with it, and I'm like, ugh. And again, I forgot to say, because I left right after. I was the bad radio show host. I was originally supposed to be on vacation like Monday morning. I wasn't even supposed to do the show, but we did our radiothon for cops.
Right.
So we got to get our final number from Bonnie at the Police Foundation, which I'll find out later today. And again, you guys were amazing. I had a tear in my eye This is not going to make you feel good. I was sitting on a porch in Pine Top with a beer in my hand watching the video. Ed Ackerley took great video. I had video from down. He was over at Westside, Flowing Wells. Couldn't believe the response there. Downtown Naomi Height and those folks were doing the flag wave. They were out there for an hour and a half while you guys were driving around honking your horns. I know there were action at the TPD, at the Oro Valley Police Station, the substation for the county sheriff out on Tanca Verde. Huh? I know Shelley did hers leading out of the Quail Creek Country Club, Quail Creek Community, to the Sarita Police Department. So I don't know what other ones I missed out there, but if you did it, you guys are I literally had a little tear in my eye. Because you guys were amazing. You keep blowing me away. Your generosity in the morning last Monday was amazing. And then the idea that you actually showed up in force. I knew you'd do it, but was just great. I'll try to put the video up again that Ed Ackerley took at the West Side Station. Amazing. Just watching all those horns go off, and they just keep going off, and the cars just keep coming. It's just, it was like a little mini version of Field of Dreams when those people are driving to the baseball field.
Mm.
It was beautiful. So we're breaking down what happened with TPD and the sad case of Carlos Adrian Ingram Lopez, or Cail, C-A-I-L. So we know we think that's his legal name. Good. I think we solved that together. Domestic violence. We got to figure out. I try to put the case number in the TPD lookup thing, and it keeps telling me no records are found at the City of Tucson court defendant. But maybe he didn't go to court. I just put the police number in. So that has to be a public records request of case. I'm all official here. 241-947.
Right.
So we have to find that one out. Who was the domestic violence? Was it against his wife?
So that would be 2004 probably is when that happened.
No, I don't think it works like that.
Yeah. When you get a traffic ticket, it is. Or
he's a younger guy. In 2004, I think he was 9.
Okay.
So that's why I don't think it's that. Mm. All right. So young guy, beautiful wife, child, Nana. So the other thing is, too, when this is going on, is the child that they take the picture of in the house? Because, it's not like he had a miserable existence, right? Because he was coked up, drunk, whatever he was doing. Okay. And then we got to get a copy of Nana's 911 call. I think everyone needs to hear that one. All right. 790-2040 is the phone number. If you have any comments, you have any supporting evidence you like to put as we start working this case together. What else do we got here today? We'll get to the chief and everyone else like that. Even his attorney, Mr. Coronado, talks about the video's very dark and it's hard to see, which is an interesting thing from the lawyer to say that. Lopez had the outstanding stop and consent. When they talked about what the cops did or did not do, let's take this moment and insert it into Wake Up Tucson history here, right? An ongoing dynamic of the city of Tucson that we've talked about forever is police staffing, right? And what's happening is that a lot of these, a part that maybe we haven't talked to, we've been talking about raw numbers, right? Remember we had the police officer on from TPD last Monday, and he was Officer Gardner, and he was with the Honor Guard last Monday. And I was saying, like, well, talk about your shift. What's going on? He goes, and he reconfirmed what we said, right? He said, all we do is run from emergency to emergency. Right? Literally, whatever the screen says,
right,
of what's outstanding, they're just running. And you're late to everything because you can't do everything. So again, back to when you hear any city council person or Chief Magnus say community policing, bullcrap. You can't do it. You can't do community policing if your man or woman, when they get in their car, have 26 calls to go to right now. So So when you know, remember we just had Danny Sharp on last Monday from Oro Valley. He's like one of the architects of community policing in Southern Arizona. And remember what he said? You got to have a little extra money and staffing to actually do community policing. So when Rahina or Magnus says community policing, they're lying to you.
They're going to defund police, but we'll have more community policing.
It sounds nice, right?
Of community course it does.
But they're misrepresenting the concept of it. Okay.
So when the police get a call, Nana's on the phone saying the man is naked and on drugs and acting a little crazy, you know you're walking into a mess.
Right.
Before you even get there.
Right.
Okay? What are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do?
This is 1 in the morning. Is it 1 in the morning? Nana's freaking out. You got a guy with a domestic violence already, so you know it could be crazy. He's coked up and naked.
She said so.
He's coked up and naked running around the front of the house.
Good luck. Good luck with that. Let's send in the Tucson Police Department.
So this is the best part, right? All of this. Who's going to? So you're living in a neighborhood where CAIL is going crazy, running around naked. Whose job? Who's going to do that if it's not the cops? For all you defund police jackasses out there,
thank you.
Who are you sending out there to go stop Carlos from running around coked up? This is not a society. If we're just letting the coked up naked guy run around, I mean, this guy sounded like he was a big dude. They had to use two handcuffs on him. You know, when you got that much coke in your system and you're running around naked like Frank the Tank, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's fault. Some of the stuff that's happened, what does he have? We talk about accountability,
right?
Is there any accountability for Carlos?
Nope.
Being a drugged out, alcohol driven, miserable human who hits family members? Is that what we're talking about?
Yep.
That's what it sounds like to me. So let's get back to police staffing. So we've always talked about police staffing most of the time in relation to we just don't have enough cops to cover the calls, which is obvious, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, we've talked about infamously the 911 call on the west side where no one came to help the guy and he's dead. We talked about the looting of the gun shop in Pliskin Acres where no one came after three calls to 911, no one came to help those people. While these guys were unloading guns like they were, you know, it was like, it was just like free giveaway day. Okay? So let's talk about this. When things get bad in a police department and you are underfunded, remember, this is why I keep saying it's Rahina Romero's fault. She's on 12 budgets underfunding cops. Now, here's the other part of it is, the older cops, the more experienced cops, are going to get the hell out of there. They're either going to retire or go to the better job. Because it's easier for them to get a better job because they can say, I'm a 12-year veteran cop. So when Paradise Valley's looking for a cop and you can have, I can have an actual crew that's supported, have enough staffing. I'm in Paradise Valley. Oh, and they're going to pay me $12,000 more a year to go there, the more experienced cop is going to be the one that's more able to get that job. So think about this. I got naked, coked up guy running around at 1 in the morning. LPO, lead police officer. Okay? 5 years. And then I got two rookies. So, you say, well, 5 years is enough. Is it? I'm not saying I'm not saying the cops handle themselves perfectly in this, but what I'm saying is you have a rookie crew out there at 1 in the morning. Okay? Here's the other part, and maybe it was McCluskey brought this up to me last week before I left. Or maybe it was right when I decided, after talking to Sean, and I knew all this was coming, I was going to shut down for vacation. when you are constantly unsupported, and you know, you see, here's the thing. Think about this. You can barely do your calls, right? So if you're barely doing your calls, what's happening is the people who you're a potential backup is, they're in the middle of 14 other things. This is another part of, and I'm glad Sean brought it up to me. He was totally right, is if you're constantly worrying that you're not going to have backup when you run into the coked up giant guy running around naked, that changes the whole dynamic of how you handle people.
Yes.
Because if you know there's a consistency, right? There's, I got a 5-year cop and two pretty much rookies with naked coked up guy. Okay. And if you know, especially if you're the 5-year guy, that you most likely there is no backup coming. So what happens is if you know there's a consistency that in a case like this, you know within 10 minutes, there's going to be another 8 to 10 cops coming to help you, right?
Yeah.
You can handle this situation possibly differently.
For a couple of minutes. Right.
Right?
Sirens on. Here they come.
Right? Maybe your job at that point is just to contain them.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But when you're dealing with a crazy coked up giant guy who's running around naked, right? And you have a consistency of no one is going, the chances that backup is coming up on a timely manner is low. It changes the dynamic of the encounter. Because what I'm thinking is, if you have 10 cases, for every 10 cases that you have a violent, drugged out person that you're running into at TPD, and out of the 10 of them, only one out of the 10 does any sort of appreciable backup show up to help you when requested. It changes the dynamic to, I'd like to go home alive tonight.
What do you think you're walking into? You've done this before. You know what you're walking into. Come on. It's all the cops' fault. Why wasn't there a mental health service professional on the scene at 1:30 in the morning?
They ain't working at 1 in the morning.
They're not working in the morning. We don't pay them because we're defunding. There is not going to be a ride-along mental health person for every damn cop call that comes into this crazy town. So get that out of your mind. Well, they should have had... No. They had a big, naked, coked-out guy, and they were told that on the way in. And it's all their fault.
Now, the other thing that I find interesting, too, so they said that they were intermittently applying pressure over a 12-minute period. And what they should have done is they should have had him laying on his side or sitting up, which is so easy to say.
Yeah.
On the Monday morning quarterbacking of this.
Sure.
Because he's a large, coked-out, naked guy. Okay. The cause of death is, I guess we're saying it was cardiac, but of course he had all that coke in his system. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the next part of this, which is the timeline of who knows what. So Ingrid's saying should have sent for an ambulance
a little bit sooner. That could have been if the guy was coked out or something like that, because they didn't call for the ambulance right when he died. And I thought of that myself. You know, we got a problem here. This guy is OD and da 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 da. He's freaking out. He's hyperventilating.
Well, you have three cops trying to handle one giant guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And bring the paramedics, and then they still have to handle the guy for the paramedics.
Here's the thing.
That's the only but I think there is.
So that's an interesting point, right? Because the question is, do you still have to make sure this guy, right, is handleable, that the paramedics can even handle this guy? So it's good to say that, right? They could have sent for an, But if the guy is still running, you know, acting violently, coked up, if you're the Tucson fire paramedic who shows up for that one, and this guy's still thrashing around, what are you going to do? You're going to send three ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about I'm going to keep quoting the chief and Rahina here. Accountability and transparency. And of course, there's no accountability for Mr. Lopez's behavior and that led up to this encounter. Because you know something? If you're not taking copious amounts of coke and beating up your loved ones, TPD doesn't show up at your door. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not even implying that anyone deserves any of this, both the cops and Mr. Lopez. But what I'm saying is, when does their accountability... When you see these pictures of him with his daughter, right? They make him look like he's a saint. I mean, is that the same daughter who might be in the room next door while he's having a domestic violence issue with his wife or his nana? You mean that one? I'm just saying. 6:51 in the morning. This is not easy to talk about, but we got to do it because... this is a big news story, and it plays into the dynamics of what's wrong with the city of Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. This is what Rahina and the city of Tucson wanted me to do. They wanted me to come back from vacation
baby,
as soon as possible.
Please come back. We need help around here.
790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to a man who helped us out on our radiothon last Monday, Jesse Lugo. What's up, buddy?
Well, welcome back, Chris. Hope you and your family had a great, getaway.
Oh, it was great. Then I got to come back here and do this. So,
well, you leave and all hell breaks loose.
That's exactly what happened. So, what do you got for me on this?
Well, see, in politics, people need to understand you can accomplish anything in politics. Just got to understand the four numbers: 3, 4, 16, and 31. 3 with the Board of Supervisors, 4 with Mayor and Council, 16 in the Senate, and 31 in the House. And the reason why I say this is here, you know, just hours after the police chief offered his resignation, it appeared that we had the 4 votes already to retain him. But after reading yesterday's Daily Star morning paper, I almost fell off my seat. I said when the mayor was critical of the police chief failure to let the city officials know about what had occurred with the resignations with the police officers. But then one quote that says, the mayor says, Chief Magnus owes the mayor and council and the public an explanation on this and many other aspects of this case of how it was handled internally by TPD. Again, here, the votes were already said way before, but there was no actual meeting held to interrogate the police chief of what had occurred. And what do you call this? Kangaroo court.
So... when I saw that all these people, including Nikki Lee, jumped out there to, I think she was one of them, right, who said she wouldn't accept his agreement, the new one.
Right.
Okay. I knew the fix was in here. Okay. I knew this was this sounds like a Rahina Magnus thing that says, hey, offer your resignation so that takes the heat off of you, but we're not going to accept it, and you'll still keep your job.
That's correct, but you know, they pass a baton and then give the authority then to our city manager then to either to terminate or retain.
So here's the other thing, right? Is the timing of this, right? So what we got to remember is, so let's see, there's a timeline here. Hold on, I'll get to it before it's all over. So here we go. So Magnus knows the day after, right?
Right.
So it says
April
22nd, he is briefed on the incident. And then Rahina says she knows Wednesday, June 17th. So in the midst of all that's going on in the world, right, Magnus keeps it from Rahina for almost a month. Okay. So if I'm the mayor... who loves her power, he would be fired just for that. Right there. Before we get to anything else.
Call it cover-up.
Right? You're going to choke this down for a month. And I, you know what I love, Jesse? The thing. Remember, nothing is ever anyone's fault at the city of Tucson. Did you hear what the chief's excuse was for dragging his feet on this, Jesse? Do you remember what it was?
Not offhand.
Ooh.
Let's go to Mr. Alexander in the back row.
COVID.
He went to the COVID excuse.
Yeah.
If there was a Republican sheriff or somebody in another town that this happened with someone and they said and they hid it for a month from the elected officials. In the world of what's going on in George Floyd and defunding police and everything, and I held it from them, for that person held it for a month and then said, "Oh, I couldn't get it out because of COVID." Rahina would be calling for his head, his or her head, like you would never believe.
Well, during the KVOA Channel 4 newscast of the meeting itself, and I
got 1 minute.
We got 30 seconds, actually.
Yeah, when Barney and Sean were on your show, you know, the mayor's body language and what she was saying just did not match. And normally, having had past training on reading body language, I said, no. I said, something's wrong here. And, of course, you can't tell me the mayor cannot know everything. You know, because after all, police chief, there's only one person you need to call is the mayor of anything that's happening that might affect the public safety.
And this is her guy. She loves this guy, and he screwed her. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.